Look at the bright lights. We'll be swimming when we die. Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky. Where the stars have always shined.
Live from the heart of Los Angeles, it's the at-home edition of the Life Changes Show. With tonight's guest, speaker, entrepreneur, and author of Billion, Shaheen Cheyenne, and musical guest, Will and Hallie. I am Mark Leger, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I have been so looking forward to this conversation today, to meeting this guest on the show. It never in the history of Life Changes has a guest come through to us that has been recommended by not only a handful of other guests that we've had, but guess who we hold in very high regard. For example, Chris Voss, author of Never Split the Difference, Negotiating as If Your Life Depends on It. You all might remember it. If not, that's a great show to go listen to with Chris Voss. He says Shaheen embodies empathy, and he demonstrates it in his approach to life, allowing both sides to experience a true win-win, a technique shown through several examples in his book. I look forward to a conversation on that. Nolan Bushnell, what a great interview that was on the Life Changes Show, founder of Atari and best-selling author of Finding the Next Steve Jobs. He says in Billion, Shaheen's book, Shaheen highlights the path to radical innovation through his innovator's journey and the many lessons we can all learn in the process. Now, I'm only going to mention one more, and that's Dear Jay Samet, best-selling author of Disrupt You and Future Proofing You. Actually, also special that we got to interview all these people in person back when we were in studio before the Share at Home time. And hopefully we will be again and get to meet Shaheen in person someday. But he says, Jay Samet says, Shaheen Cheyenne has packed Billion with valuable business and life lessons every entrepreneur can learn from without having to deal with drug dealers, the Yakuza, or the feds. Excited to hear about our guest yet? Here, when we come back, we're going to have Shaheen Cheyenne as our guest a little later on, our Ask Dorothy segment, and then our musical guests, Will and Hallie, all on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition right after this.
Have you felt inspired to meditate but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads, transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All Phi Beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like we see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi Beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi Meditation. Phi Meditation helps you harness the power of I Am for intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi Beads at PhiBeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, Beads.com. You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA on the BBS Radio Network with your host, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com, which include luminaries such as comedian Michael Collier, actress Gabriella Wright, performing artist James Hood, and author Ken Honda. Email your comments and questions to info@lifechangesnetwork.com or askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com. You can also comment via Twitter @LifeChangesShow and Facebook @TheLifeChangesShow.
Okay, I am Filippo Voltaggio. This is our at-home edition of The Life Changes Show, and our guest today is entrepreneur, speaker, author of Billion, How I Became King of the Thrill Pill Cult, and so much more. Welcome, Shaheen Cheyenne, to the show.
Filippo, honored to be on. I think I finally have met my match, a podcast radio show host with a name more difficult than my own.
Oh, no. How did I? Did I pronounce your name okay?
No, you pronounced it perfectly. Oh, okay.
You know, I have to say, we haven't had the pleasure of meeting in person yet, but I got the visual. See, because Shaheen made his first millions, I think, at 15. He'll tell us in a little bit. But I get the picture like you in front of the whole world did your thing like kids used to do in class, and the whole class laughed, and there was this moment of levity and like this kid that did a great thing. And then the teacher pulls this kid in front of the class and says, "See what you did? Are you happy now? Are you happy now?" And the answer is yes. Or you tell me, what's the answer? See what you did?
The answer is heck yeah.
Like, of what's course. The problem, Teach?
That's the thing. I came up in the 80s, and in the 80s, we didn't have any of this woke culture, any of the stuff that we had now. I mean, I was bullied from the get-go. We came to America as refugees from Iran during Iran-Contra. Yeah. And I would get my you-know-what handed to me every single day. And I'd go crying to the teachers being like, "Oh, I can't believe, you know, this guy beat me up today." And when I say beat up, I mean, there was always blood involved. And they'd be like, "Well, what'd you do? Go sit down." And that was the usual course of things in the 80s. And I'm not saying it as, you know, like I have a victim mentality. I'm saying it in that I feel that that was one of the big contributing factors to me building the grit that allowed me to have the success that I did in life.
Mm. You had to, sounds like from what you're sharing, and I'm sure we only know one millionth of it, you had to endure a lot as a kid. So that must have helped you endure a lot when so many were, I mean, and give us the mafia, the feds, drug dealers, and the pharmaceutical companies. That's all.
I'm just checking in to see which one of my friends you talked to. Chris Voss, the FBI negotiator, Nolan, the founder of Atari.
Right?
It's awesome that I actually did not know that you guys had interviewed all of them.
All of them.
And you know, those are giants that I, you know, stand on the shoulders of, because those guys have lived exceptional lives. Nolan, who I'm sure you know, was the first guy to hire Steve Jobs working in his basement, where, you know, Nolan Bushnell, the founder of Atari and Chuck E. Cheese's. And Nolan tells the story always of when Steve Jobs and Wozniak came up to him and they said, "Dude, you know, we've got this idea for this company. It's going to be called Apple. We just need like $50,000. You'll have 50% of the company." And Nolan told them to go F off. You know, he said, "That'll never." But personal computing is not where I'm at. I'm at gaming. Meet me at gaming, guys.
Because he was doing Pong at the time, right?
He was doing Pong at the time. But this is a guy who, similar to Steve Jobs, is an absolute visionary, an absolute giant in the way that he thinks. Spending any time around people like Nolan or Chris or Jay, these are guys that have achieved great things in their lives, and they all have that similar grit. These are all people that have had rough and tumble lives at some point and have persevered to rise up to the highest levels of success. And I'm honored to even be mentioned in the same sentence as those guys.
So I have a feeling either you're avoiding or we'll have to come back to the drug dealers and the pharmacists.
Oh, my friend, I do not avoid. Nothing is off topic. So if you want me to tell you the Yakuza story, and I appreciate you reading my book. I oftentimes do interviews and they just like the concept and they don't actually dig in. So I like the fact that you've done your research and dug in. So there was a point. Now, mind you, let's can I roll back just a little bit?
Sure. Take us back.
I'm 15 years old. I had been sleeping in abandoned buildings and on the beach.
Yeah.
I had no money to my name. I managed to convince people to give me a bunch of different herbs. I was involved in the electronic rave music scene at the time, left home at 15, no friends, no family, nothing, just on my own. And I somehow managed to get myself a girlfriend. Don't ask me how this worked out. Not only that, I managed to convince her to allow me to cook up prototypes of pills in her kitchen while her father, who was like some superintendent for some school district, was out at work. So I would sneak in through the back as that guy drove off in his car to go to work, cooking up the formula for what was to become herbal ecstasy in her kitchen. And one day I ended up at a rave, toe-to-toe, with one of the biggest drug dealers at the time. Now, mind you, this is what had happened in those days. Ecstasy was very popular in the 80s. It had become huge designer drug. It was the first major designer drug to sweep the country. But it had been banned sometime around 83. And, you know, then again, it was legalized sometime around 87 and then banned quickly then again. And this is the early 90s. This stuff was being produced in Europe, and the supply had dried up. I was at the right place at the right time. You want to talk about synchronicity? I was doing things right for once in my life.
And yours was legal.
And mine was legal. And I walked up to this guy. Now, in the 80s, tattoos on your face and your neck meant something very different. Now, if you have tattoos on your face and neck, they call you Post Malone and you get a platinum record. In the 80s, it was a completely different story. And this guy even had the three little tear things, which I think meant he killed somebody in jail or was. So he did something really fucking bad. Oh, excuse me. Effing bad. You guys can believe me, I think. And I was toe-to-toe with this guy, and I looked at him, and I said, dude, you got to sell my pills. And he said, what are you talking about? Is this stuff legal? And I said, yeah, absolutely legal. He said, then I'm not interested. He says, you know what I do? I'm a drug dealer. I deal drugs. I said, I understand that, but you're going to go out of business. And in that moment, two people walked up to him. And he knew that he needed to make a change because otherwise he wouldn't be making any money that night. He grabbed the bag of pills, sold them all out within the next 2 hours. And I found myself in front of him again, sweating bullets, thinking to myself, holy, you know what? What's going to happen? Is this guy going to kill me? Is he going to buy my product? Turns out he loved it and so did everybody else because it worked. And what happened was it went from one guy to two guys. I realized that, hey, there's something here. There's some meat on these bones. This is a distribution network that is untapped and out of supply. And I fostered relationships with drug dealers all over the world, and they legitimized themselves. Turns out none of them were really happy doing the work they were doing outside of the money. They hated ending up in and out of jail. They bought franchises from me. They bought territories just like they did with real drugs. And it turns out that they became excellent distributors, and nobody messed with them.
Wow.
Very few problems. And it was epic. And they were so grateful because I had legitimized them. They could now take their money and use it any way that they wanted to. They wouldn't end up in jail. They could build businesses for themselves. And we went mainstream. We went from
a true win-win-win.
Win-win-win-win, my friend. And from there, we went on to brick and mortar. We were in 30,000 stores. Larry Flint became one of our big customers, selling to sex stores all across the country. Larry Flint, the publisher of Hustler, one of the oldest pornographers, weird, weird dude, but ended up buying millions of dollars worth of pills from us. And we made deals with Urban Outfitters, with 7-Eleven, with General Nutrition Centers, GNC, Tower Records, Warehouse Records, New Age bookstores at the time. I know you're in L.A. I don't know if you remember the Bodhi Tree bookstore.
Oh, yeah.
One of the greats of L.A. They were carrying it. I mean, we were keeping a lot of these fledgling businesses around. We were keeping them in business because business was bad for people. Were getting out of books. People weren't really going to do a lot of the stuff that they were doing. And we were keeping these businesses alive because our product was the only thing that was selling regardless of market conditions. And one day I ended up in my office. We had broken $1 billion in revenue. Sam Donaldson was outside in a limousine waiting to interview me for Nightline. We had had 2 Newsweek covers, cover of Details magazine, LA Times, New York Times, paparazzi everywhere. I had a collection of exotic cars, Ferraris, Porsches, the whole thing. I had watercraft, boats, you know, was flying on private planes. And a man shows up to my office, a mysterious man. I would like to tell you what he looked like, but you would not believe me. And he had a duffel bag with $1 million in cash and an invite to go to Tokyo. No indication of who it is or what it was for, but it was a private plane, everything first class. I said, okay, let's go.
Wow.
Foolish decisions in those days.
Wow.
Flew out. Turns out that the Yakuza was very keen on taking over my business. Now, of course, I was willing to give them distributorship through one of their companies for a single product, but they had plans for the whole company. And a really rough evening of negotiations ensued where I wasn't sure if I was going to make it out of that little ryokan, and I used all the lessons of negotiation and influence that I had learned throughout the years to wiggle my way out of there safely and alive, and with apparently a several pound gold cat in my briefcase, my bag.
A cat made out of gold, is that what you're saying?
Cat made out of gold, my friend.
Did you put it in the bag or somebody put it there?
Well, there was a fairly rough negotiation that ensued, and I was handed a bag. Now, mind you, the majority of the time I was keeping quiet, as was the custom with everybody else, because we were in this room. Things were very tense. We actually had the ladies walking around giving tea, and all the guys around me were smoking, chain smoking cigarettes, and the majority of them had one or more fingers missing, tattoos everywhere, and there was no getting out of the situation that I was in. And there was a negotiation taking place. My Japanese partner was there. He was probably peeing himself, if I remember correctly, a ghost-faced. I think he couldn't get out a word in any language in the moment where he realized what was going on and that I wasn't exactly going to play ball. And as it turns out, at the end of it, we somehow won the negotiation. I write about it in my book. and I was handed a bag with something heavy in it. Now, I did not know if this was somebody's head, a foot, how I was going to end the rest of my days, if they were going to put me in the bag. Turns out there was a gold cat in there, one of the ones that waves. It didn't wave, but it was a gold cat. I mean, a sizable thing, probably worth several hundreds of thousands of dollars, and a bunch of cash, and that was it. You know, there were no written contracts. The written contract was they would let me exist.
So I was going to ask you before you started to tell this story, did some of this go to your head and you just answered it in that story? I mean, I think saying yes to going to Tokyo, you were invincible is maybe what was going through your head. Like, I'm Shaheen. What could go wrong? I'm the king of the cold pill.
That's a really good way to put it. And I thank you for, I see why you have a talent of putting things into perspective. The fact is, I never lived in my head. And even to this day, I don't live in my head. I think that's the biggest BS ever. I always followed my true gut. Now, I verified. I made sure that the decisions I was making made sense to whatever I felt at that time was my highest good, which may have been flawed. But I tried to stay out of my head. And I think ultimately that was the secret sauce to my success, was I didn't listen to any of the naysayers. Look, I was a 15-year-old kid that invented a magic pill, a freaking drug that swept the world and made over $1 billion in revenue in my teens, before the internet, with no college education, before mobile phones, before any of this stuff. I could not afford to be in my head. Yeah, before Amazon. Now I'm selling on Amazon and I teach people how to sell on Amazon to do what I do. But back then, we didn't have any of that stuff. I had to figure out distribution. I had to figure out how to sell things, how to get eyeballs, how to get attention, how to deal with the press. These were not things that were taught to me. But the fact was, I had that part of my brain shut off. It didn't matter. It would not serve me well. I guess what I'm saying is I lived more in my heart than in my head.
So was it your heart that said, not to debate you, I'm just curious. So at 15, did you say, because you knew you were doing something that your girlfriend's father wouldn't approve of potentially, and I don't think it was just because you were dirtying up the kitchen. Did you know you were creating a drug to match the illegal drugs, and you were, this wasn't for you? You were planning on selling this and making a lot of money?
Oh, God, I didn't do drugs until much, much later. Yeah, that was definitely something that I wasn't into. I didn't even smoke cannabis until much, much later. I mean, I still don't smoke cannabis. I mean, I've probably had it a couple of handfuls of times. I had to stay awake and alert. I was busy making money and running an empire. I had no time for that kind of tomfoolery.
So you were definitely doing this for other people and to make money.
I was doing it to make an impact. I was doing it to do what Walter Isaacson, the great author, wrote in his book about Steve Jobs. I wanted to put my dent in the universe. I wanted to do something that impacted change. And this was an area that was completely untouched. Similarly, after I did all the herbal ecstasy stuff, I invented the first digital vaporizer. That was the first vaporizer company to go public. It was the forerunner to all the vapes and all that technology that you see today. And there was nothing like it before. There was no vape. There was no alternative. And I remember thinking to myself, man, you know, for 5,000 years, we've had people smoking stuff, creating smoke, tar, and carbon monoxide. Nobody's freaking figured out a better way. Really? Is there a way we can inhale plant substances without getting all the carcinogenic elements? Mm-hmm. And turns out that if you heat it up to the point where it releases all its active elements, the THC, the cannabinoids, the nicotine, whatever it is that you're doing, but not to the point where it combusts, you're doing pretty good. Only thing is, you got to figure out how to regulate that temperature. And that's what I did when I invented Vapeer.
So how does this correlate with drawing people's aspiration, hopes, and dreams out? I from the examples you gave, I could see where you could do it on an individual level. But now I have a feeling that you're teaching people this whereby they can do this on Amazon with products of their own or products they invent, et cetera, right?
Yeah. So now I teach and train people how not to sell their friggin' hours, how to get out of the worst habit that people trying to get out of a rut are in. And that's selling your hours for money. It's a fool's game. What I do now is I try to inspire and impact people by teaching them how to start these businesses that are backed by one of the world's greatest e-commerce sellers, probably the greatest e-commerce sellers in the world. Most people don't know that you can have a piece of Jeff Bezos's fortune. You can go out there for free, for $0, and start an Amazon seller account and sell whatever you please on Amazon. Now, to do it intelligently requires a little bit of work. And by the way, I have a 1-hour course that's normally $200. I'll offer it to all of your listeners for free. So anybody from the show that reaches out, I'll give them the 1-hour course for free. Let's see if we can get 1,000 people inspired to start Amazon businesses so they can create their own predictable revenue streams. If I could do that, my job is well done.
Well, so people can reach out at fbasellercourse.com. Is that it?
Yeah, that's right. Or you guys can email me if anybody wants to write it down. Just email me directly at darkzess@gmail.com. That's darkzess@gmail.com. I answer all emails. I get to email zero every day, and I will get back to you. Go to fbasellercourse.com or shaheenshayan.com. We'll include the URLs in the show notes, and I'm sure on the Life Changes website as well.
We are indeed. We are going to, that's at lifechangesshow.com. We're going to take a quick break, but we're going to be right back for a few more minutes, hopefully a little more than that, but with Shaheen Cheyenne. The book is Billion, How I Became King of the Thrill Pill Cult. I'm sure it's on Amazon.
Yep.
And everywhere else where books are sold, but of course, as Shaheen mentioned, at his website, Shaheen, shaheenshayene.com, and at fbasellercourse.com. And thank you for that offer. Yes, we also have other links for his Instagram, etc. Actually, before we go on a break, do you want to give out your podcast information?
Yeah, totally. For any of you guys that are interested in creating recurring revenue streams, if you're interested in hacks, we teach people how to hack. What's a hack? A hack is an unconventional workaround to a problem that may be difficult for people to solve. Check out our show. It's Hack and Grow Rich, and you can listen to it on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever podcasts are found. And by the way, my book, Billion, How I Became King of the Thrill Pill Cult, is also on all those channels. And the first audio chapter is free on Audible and Spotify.
So when we come back, actually, if we could, since the show we've titled How to Draw Out People's Aspirations, Hopes, and Dreams, based on what some people get out of Billion, your book, maybe you could give us like one or two things that we can either look for or aspire to, or where we start to connect with people's aspirations, hopes, and dreams. And that'll be with Shaheen Cheyenne a little later on. We're going to have our Ask Dorothy segment. And right after that, our musical guest segment with Will and Haley, all on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition, right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and the little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA, with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online at lifechangesshow.com. Via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at Life Changes Show.
Well, we're back. I am Filippo, and this is the Life Changes Show at Home Edition. Our guest went from sleeping in his car to building a multi-million dollar empire that spanned the globe, and now he is still at it, teaching people very many interesting things. And I say interesting things because in the book Billion, certainly it's an exciting story. And I actually haven't read it all, so please don't spoil the ending for me. Actually, it doesn't seem like there is an ending. And that's the point, isn't it, actually?
Well, that's a good question. Yeah, and that was one of the problems we had, because I just signed a movie deal with a great Hollywood production team, and they're going to make it a major motion picture. We're very excited about that. And the problem is they're all asking, all right, so where does it end? Is it Wolf of Wall Street? Is it Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas? Is it Wolf of Wall Street meets Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas? And I'm like, yeah, it's all that stuff. They're like, great, so tell us about the crash. And I'm like, well, I didn't exactly crash. I'm now inspiring people to make money on Amazon. Well, did you go to jail? Nope, didn't do that part. My stuff was legal. Oh, okay, they're missing that part of the story arc. But I think they're going to do it. I think it's going to go very well. We had some really interesting moments of tension, some really great story arcs. And at the end of the day, I think the story goes on. And I think I took what I learned from there. I made millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars, and I lost hundreds of millions of dollars. But now I'm at a place where I travel. I'm a family guy. I've got a beautiful wife and son. And we travel the world and doing what we love, selling products on Amazon and inspiring others to do the same.
You know, it's interesting that you say that about the crash, the drama that people are looking for. If you were teased like you were, and if blood was always involved as you were beaten up as you were, I think about years that I was teased in school, like every day, several times a day. As a child, those are long days. Those are long days. That's a long life. And we don't always have the tools to deal with that. Now, people have drama that goes on as adults, and we say, oh, that's major. But, you know, maybe you went through the major stuff. Like more major than some people go through in their life, except that we over dramatize or we romanticize the adults because, oh, look what happened to them. But gosh, till you're 15 or what have you, every single day or as often as it happened, that's a lot.
Yeah, buddy, look, you can take your shots, call yourself a victim, and fall into that victim mentality, or you can reach down, grab your balls, get up, and fight. You can do that. You can do that. You have a set of balls for a reason. So you can get up and you can fight. You can swing. You might get knocked down again. And I did over and over again until one day I didn't anymore. But you learn. You become tougher. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And it's that grit, that resilience, that ability to create this thick skin that makes you invincible. It's what made our ancestors invincible. You look at ancient traditions. You look at people like the Vikings. Those dudes didn't like take any crap. You know, they wanted to die with their boots on, swords drawn. They had no fear. And that's ultimately what you want to cultivate. And you can't cultivate that in a very safe, comfy thing. If somebody calls you something and your word for yourself is something different, and all of a sudden you melt because you thought you were special like a snowflake, the world doesn't work that way. You can create bubbles that work that way, but it's not going to make you stronger. It's not going to make you more resilient. And we're not going to change the world, change the planet, impact people around us, create great stuff and great stories by falling into that narrative. What you do is you pick yourself up. You say, good shot. Let's go again. Or you pick yourself up and you say, is that all you have? Really? Yeah.
Okay, so before we get into the last question, which would be about a couple things that we could focus on, actually, that's something we could focus on right there. Words of wisdom from Cheyenne. And let me ask you this. Heard you say in an interview it was on your podcast. You said you like making money quietly now or something like that. Not like boasting or showing it off, right? And you said it's better that way. Why?
Well, back in the ecstasy days when I started my first company and I started Herbal Ecstasy, I was very loud and very aggressive and very public about how I did things. And that was great, but I will give you a quote that I use in my book that I think is very important for this particular moment in time. And I teach this to my students as well. While you are sleeping, your enemies are planning your demise. This goes contradictory to all the politically correct stuff that we hear, and everybody's out to help you and blah, blah, blah. It's not that way. Mm-hmm. The world is predatory. All you got to do is look at nature. Mm-hmm. Things don't work the way that we always want them to. So making money, and I make a lot more now that I get to keep than I did back then because I was burning through hundreds of millions of dollars, is mainly due to the fact that I don't publicize everything that I do, that I'm quieter about the things that I do. And the real people, the guys that are making the billions and billions of dollars, don't always end up on the Forbes top 10, top 100 list. The ones we hear about are a tiny fraction of the wealth that's out there. And the wealth that you can't see is wealth that others can't go after. And it's so fun to enjoy and so fun to spend and so fun to be wealthy and for it to be quieter. But the thing is, Filippo, we don't live in that kind of a society. We live in the Instagram society where everybody wants the 5-second rich guy. And you look at this guy and he's like this good looking guy and he's got his like Lamborghinis and there's 20 girls in the background all in bikinis shooting machine guns. And it's just the shiny object. And I don't even know what they're selling. What are you selling, dude? He's selling you a course on how to get rich doing something. Has anybody gotten rich doing that? No. But people buy into it. Why? Because they're buying their lottery ticket. Their ability to say, well, I bought into the dream. I tried. It's an excuse. It's an excuse for the only hack that works. The only hack that works is hard work. The only hack that works is getting out there and failing, seeking failure, and getting out there and really making a mess of things so that you learn, and then slowly picking yourself up, dusting yourself off, and doing it a little better each time until you no longer fail. And then what you have to do is you have to perfect it. You have to make sure that the sum total of the size of your successes outweigh the size of your failures. And then you're okay. And then you're winning in life.
Speaking of failures, back at the movie real quick. So yes, if you had lost hundreds of millions of dollars after you made them and had made a complete mess of your life and hurt other people and taken people down because of whatever you want to call it, victimhood or woe is me-hood, then that would have made a better movie in Hollywood's eyes, right?
Maybe. I don't know. I think they want, yeah, of course, they want that story arc. If you look at Wolf of Wall Street, Jordan Belfort's story, really great movie. I love that movie. But there were a lot of crazy things that happened in his time. And then at the end of it, the guy goes to jail. So there's a closure to the story. My story keeps going because I didn't do that stuff. I didn't abuse people. I didn't do illegal things. Most of my stuff was pretty sane as far as things go. I just broke the mold. People, I'm sure, said that what I did was impossible. You can't create a drug and put it out there in the world and not have every three-letter agency come after you. Well, they're partially right. Every three-letter agency did come after me, but they had nothing to hang on to. We weren't drugs. We weren't the traditional supplements. We'd just broken the mold. They just didn't know what to do with us. They didn't know how to categorize us. That was their biggest problem at that time.
Nice. And truly creating win-win-win-win-wins, as you said. So as we bring our time together, this time at least, to a close, how to draw out people's aspirations, hopes, and dreams? Like, what's the one thing on our way to a win for everybody and definitely yourself as well, obviously?
I'll give you two things. And these are both unique. I'm sure not many other personal development people have mentioned these. Number one, don't be an a-hole. Number two, be authentic. I was just on a sales show, someone who's a sales expert, and he said, well, what's the best way to sell something? I said, dude, just be authentic. Just be a real effing person. Go out there and be real. There is no secret. Like, young guys ask me, oh, how do you get girls? How do you get chicks? Whatever. You know, what should I say? Is there a script? You know, how do I make sales? There is no script. The script is be a real person. And if there isn't enough there, if you feel you are not interesting enough, you might be right. You might fall into the a-hole category, or you might not be in the a-hole category, but you can work on yourself. That's why it's called personal development. You can reflect. You can take time and put the effing phone down and look back and go, this is what's happened today. You can have a moment of silence and look back at your life. Look at the people around you and try to make yourself a more empathetic, a more sophisticated, a more whole, complete person that's self-reflective. And people will smell it on you. They will know that you are an authentic human being. You see, some of the guys that are very successful online selling, people particularly in Gen Z and Gen Y are very attracted to them. And you're like, what's attractive about this person? The person's just being authentic. It's a real person. There's a real person there, and there aren't many. So you're looking at a human being that's authentic. People are attracted to that authenticity. And as Professor Cialdini in his book Persuasion talks about, they're persuaded. All sales are made before the prospect ever gets to the sales floor.
I feel like I almost got a great meme quote from you, something like I was expecting, wow, if you'd only say, be authentic. Don't fall into the a-hole category.
Don't fall into the a-hole. I like it. I'm trying to be radio friendly. I think this is the first podcast I've done in a while where I haven't cursed. I let one F-bomb off, but that was an accident. I didn't intend to do that.
Anyway, I'm just kidding. I'm just playing with you and have had fun listening to you, learning from you. And I can see what everybody, what the buzz is about, and you're selling. Let's see, you just exemplified what your last comment was all about, where the sale is actually made. So thank you for I'm sold. So
I appreciate that, Filippo. Thank you so much.
The book is. on sale at Amazon and on a couple, many websites actually, but we'll give FBASellerCourse.com, which is actually where the course is. And one more shout out about that, Shaheen.
Yeah, sure. Guys, look me up. Email me directly at darkzess, DarkZess at gmail.com. Reach out to me any way that you want to. Go to ShaheenShan.com or FBASellerCourse.com and check out my book. Subscribe to Hack and Grow Rich on YouTube or anywhere. Make sure to like, dislike, hate us. Doesn't matter. As long as you're giving us some attention, we like it and really appreciate it. If my story inspires you, if anything I've said has inspired you, let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
The book is called Billion, and Shaheen, you're one in a billion. So thank you so much, Shaheen. Cheyenne, thank you for being with us. Look forward to getting to meet you someday. All the best.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me on. Such an honor, Filippo.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Wow. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy question. Here's Dorothy's Ask Question. Dorothy, this is Darla from Long Beach, and I miss you and your workshops. Please let me know when you are doing one again. In the meantime, I need your help so I can help my husband. Melvin is a wonderful man, and you met him when we took your workshop 10 years ago. Since then, he has constantly been talking to all of us about how we have to change our thoughts and change our world. He has quoted you and reminded us of so many of the wonderful things you shared. And now he is slowly making a shift. And even though he stays attuned to messages you shared, he has begun to speak more and more about how his patience is wearing thin and that he just doesn't know how much more he can hang here without seeing some significant change in the world. I have begun to be very worried about him, and I need to know how I can help him go back to being the positive and inspirational man I know him to be. Please help me.
Dear Darla, I remember you and wonderful Melvin, and I loved the way we laughed and shared our thoughts of co-creating a magnificent future for us and the planet. It does appear that it has taken longer than we had wanted for things to shift. However, we are shifting in tremendous ways and are truly in the process of co-creating a world filled with love, peace, and joy. I recall that many of the people you know are much like the two of you, and I intuit that the lockdown led to less interaction. Therefore, I lovingly suggest that you put together monthly gatherings with these like-minded people and share much love, laughter, and healing energies. You're all fantastic healers, and doing energetic alchemy on one another would benefit each one of you. Melvin could lead the group's conversations, and you might even suggest that he read a chapter or two from his amazing book. You could read some of your own poetry, and others could share what they love doing. I believe that right now, Melvin, like so many others I know, think the positive change is never going to happen. And I know that it is happening right now. Might not look great for a while longer, but I'm excited. And I wake up every day knowing that we're getting closer to the world we signed up for. I surround myself with people who know and believe what I know and believe. And we work on looking for and sharing the happiness in our lives. This doesn't mean we don't have challenges. We do. And yet we figured out how to love and support one another and find ways to overcome whatever pops up. I trust you can find similar ways to reignite and share the inspiration I know lies within you and your beautiful friends and Melvin. Thank you.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, simply write Ask Dorothy at lifechangesshow.com. And with that, we're going to take a quick break and come back with our musical guests, Will and Haley, live on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, lifechangesnetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We are back. This is the Life Changes Show at Home Edition, and this is a very special moment for me because I get to introduce Will and Haley, and it just feels like I'm introducing a duo that we're going to be hearing a lot more of, and I've told them, actually. I was surprised I hadn't heard of them yet, but here we go. They're a singing duo, songwriting duo, musical duo. Will and Haley, welcome to the show.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Pretty good.
Yes, it's good. It's so good. So, I shared with both of you my excitement earlier, and how does that feel? Does it feel like, hey, you know, they're seeing us, or yeah, we know?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like the ball is rolling now. I mean, it took a lot of work and elbow grease to even get to this point. So it is exciting to see things kind of speed up a little, you know? So yeah, I'm just excited. I think Will is too. So.
Oh yeah, certainly.
So we've got Haley Hostetter and William Warden, and together they've come together as Will and Haley. And actually, I didn't get to hear this because I said save it, because I think it's going to be really. I want to hear it for the first time too, all together. How did you two like connect?
Well, I was going to school in Texas where I grew up, and I ended up doing a little bit of Timothy Leary-ing, I guess, if that's a verb, and ended up, you know, tuning in a little bit and dropping out of college, that is. And I moved out to, by coincidence, a commune in Fullerton, California.
Okay.
And that's where we met.
And at that time, I was going to Chapman University for 1 year, and I was in this crew of people that I just didn't really align with, going to frat parties, like, that no one really understood the music I listened to at that point, and I just wasn't. I met Will and his friends who were living on this commune in Anaheim, which is a funny place for it, and I just kind of realized kind of everything that I was missing out on. It was kind of a homing experience for me. So from there, we kept in touch, and we eventually just started playing music together because we both had a passion for it. And so when I lived in Koreatown, I ended up moving there eventually. And we would sit in my studio and just play together and practice harmonies to our favorite songs.
So speaking of harmonies, and you said people didn't relate to the kind of music you listened to. When I first heard your music, and I did a double take, like I looked at the video. I think Mark sent us a video of some event you sang at. And I looked at the video, and I looked at the way you were all dressed. The video looked too good to be taken in the 70s. But it sounded like actually it was more like the 60s, but the sound quality was good too. And I did a double take, like, were they around in the 60s? So I got folk music, I got storytelling. I'm like, who are these two?
Yeah, don't forget about country too. We're big country fans.
And country too. Yeah. So how does this all, like, where does this love and appreciation for this music and style and everything that you're doing, actually, it feels authentic, and yet it feels like you all like stepped out of that era.
Yes, certainly. I'd say, you know, I think both of us got definitely turned on by a lot of the rock and roll movement, and you know, following the rabbit hole of where all that music came from. I think you know, we wanted to learn, you know, where it really came from, where are the roots, where are they, you know, planted. So I think, you know, following that rabbit hole a little bit down to, you know, who inspired who back, you know, a few generations, it brings you to a place where we got very inspired by, which is the Greenwich Village scene. But, you know, even the Greenwich Village scene in, you know, the mid-60s, they were inspired by people before them. And, you know, it's always passed down. And I think that's like kind of the fun of it, is that, you know, it's always shifting a little bit, but it's continually being passed down between person and person. And the story isn't a person specifically. It's more of a shared experience. You know, almost how, you know, Native Americans are passing down stories. You know, it's almost, it's all verbal, and it's all stored within personality of whoever is telling the story, really.
And also, I think that a lot of that, the storytelling aspect has really broken off sometime between that era and now. And I think that a lot of people aren't gathering inspiration from, like, somewhere that stopped, like, people seeing inspiration from from even Joan Baez and Bob Dylan, who are, I would say, the modern front of the folk movement, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of almost picking up where they left off too, you know, and carrying on that tradition.
So speaking of story, this first song we're going to get to hear, I know it's one of your new ones, and it was fun. We did a sound check and got to hear you all putting it together. And it just feels like, you know, something exciting is coming together. So we get to hear it fresh, new, and it must have a story behind it that I wasn't getting from the little that you played at the time, so I can't wait to hear. So, Oh Woman, what's that about?
So this is told from the perspective of a man, and it kind of comes from the sentiment of sharing your feelings and emotions with someone who isn't ready to handle those. And it goes beyond just, you know, save your tears, but it kind of is along those lines, like why give over that pure emotion to someone who is not even willing to hear that or hold on to it in a respectful way, you know?
Wise words.
Yeah, so that's pretty much what it's about. And then it's called Oh Woman because it's a man singing to a woman.
Okay, well, here, this is the first time on radio for this, right?
Yeah, this is actually the first, I mean, aside from performing it at shows, yeah, this is the first recording of this that's been out. So
definitely a debut.
Yeah. How exciting. Okay, well, here's Will and Haley performing live for us, debuting Oh Woman, their song on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition.
Okay, ready?
Crying for me, you know your tears are for the seeds to drink, but I cannot hear you, my eyes deceive. Oh, woman, why you crying for me? Laughing for me, your joyous bellows make the heavens ring, but I cannot hear you, my eyes deceive. Oh, woman, why you laughing for me? Oh, why you singing for me? You're singing rubies and ivory, but I cannot hear you, my eyes deceive. Oh, woman, why you singing for me? Singing for me, singing for me. Why you singing for me? Oh, woman, why you crying for me? You know your tears are for the seeds to drink, but I cannot hear you, my eyes deceive. Oh, woman, why for me? Oh, woman, why crying for me?
Wow. Yay. Will and Haley, William Warden and Haley Hostetter. You can find Will's Instagram at Godspeed Warrior, and Haley's Instagram is Lady Apple Tree. I love that, Lady Apple Tree and Godspeed Warrior.
find them on Instagram. And actually, it's so new. There still isn't a website or a Facebook page, but they will be performing at CorazonTopanga.com. And Corazon is Corazon, Topanga, Topanga.com. Go check out Corazon Topanga, a really cool space. And if you're in town, you can go enjoy them live. So thank you for sharing that story, both in words and in song. And so the harmonies, talk to us about the harmonies and what you're doing with that.
So some of our biggest inspirations and kind of our teachers for this, because in a way, this is about hearing it and just feeling it, and it's about trial and error. But there are people and groups such as Peter, Paul, and Mary, Ian and Sylvia, you know, of course, Bob Dylan and Joan Baez, and many others who have kind of created this almost formula for how harmonies can really work well together. So we try to pull from them as well as dig into our own original sound as well.
Yeah, certainly.
Well, and it's interesting to me, not only do you have influences from that era, but you also have worked with people from that era and really renowned people like Henry Diltz, who was a photographer in the 60s, and Chuck, is it Berghofer? Yeah, Berghofer from the Wrecking Crew? Yeah, yeah. Who played all those?
Yeah, he's both of them are extremely legendary people, and sometimes we still can't really believe that we got to hang out with them and work with them. Chuck, we had come in and record upright bass over our duet record that we're recording right now, as well as a few tracks on Haley's solo record. And also to throw back to when you told us the Instagrams, Lady Appletree is Haley's record, the name of Haley's record, as well as a song on there. So that's continuity there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Chuck is amazing. And we also got to do some shooting with Henry Diltz. And I think we'll be utilizing his photography for our album cover because everyone we love, Moms and Papas, Love and Spoonful, The Doors. Yeah,
I mean,
many. James Taylor, Joni Mitchell, all of them.
Yeah.
Got their album cover shot by Henry Diltz. So
I mean, it's really so magical, too, because it seems like when they both came here, they were both just, more than happy to just do it. Without money, which obviously we, want to compensate for their valuable, work, but they were just kind of excited to see something happening again like this, and it's just cool to take their stories too, and hear their stories from the time and just really sit with those.
Well, I'm excited. We're excited at the Life Changes Show, and I have a feeling like it won't be long that we'll be listening back on this and saying, "Oh, we remember them well," and hopefully get still know you then. So keep on keeping on, because it's it feels like something we all need, kind of like our guest was sharing, a win-win-win. Mm-hmm. It's like this is good for you and good for all. So so more power to you. Now, some old, some something new, right? Yeah, is that what's coming next?
Yeah, some old something new.
Okay. Oh, not something.
Certainly,
okay.
Certainly a new too.
Yeah, this is brand new.
This is exciting. Like it's brand new. Okay, so I said it wrong. So it's some old something new, right?
No, it's some old something new.
But it is some old something new, you gotta learn it.
Yeah. I'm learning it too. Okay, so some old something new. All right, here is Will and Haley. And excited for them to do something new here on the
Let me just mention that, the last one I wrote, and then this one Will wrote. So there's a special individuality to both of the songwriting aspects.
Yeah. Wonderful.
She wishes she had more to life, finer things in life. She talks about those kinds of lies, knowing well they'll bring her strife. Deep down she knows that I'm a man, intentions well indeed. For all I know, that woman's heart is rooted deep in greed. She's the kind of girl they talk about in a dream. She's some old something new girl down in sunny Abilene. Deep down she knows that I'm a man, intentions well indeed. For all I know, that woman's heart is rooted deep in greed. She's the kind of girl they talk about in a dream. She's some old something new girl down in the sunny Abilene. Deep down she knows that I'm a man, intentions well indeed. For all I know, that woman's heart is rooted deep in greed. For all I know, that woman's heart is rooted deep in greed.
Oh, some old something new is too short. No, I'm
so good.
Well, you know, something new. Maybe I'll have another verse by the next time we play it.
I'm loving it. You know, I have to say, Will and Haley, I can't wait to see you all in person as well. And of course, you've got some shows coming up at Corazon Topanga, Carazon Topanga.com is where you can go and learn about them. But you can follow them and find out where they're going to be next on Instagram right now. Will's Instagram is Godspeed Warrior, WARRIOR. And Haley's Instagram, and evidently the name of her album, at Lady Apple Tree. So tell us when the new stuff is coming out, and then you'll tell us, hopefully, when you'll tell us a Life Changes show so we can post about it. So tell us now.
Yes, certainly. Great. Well, so we have off of our duet folk record that we're working on, we're releasing a single. The soonest thing that we're releasing is the single, where we cover Donovan's Colors, and we also have a music video for that. And I think within the next month, we're going to have that single out again, stay tuned on the Instagram. And we're looking to release the folk record as well following that, hopefully by this year.
But what's exciting is that we have a video that we've just finished filming on 16 millimeter. So that will be released at the same time as the single. And we worked with this clothing brand called Stoned Immaculate. They're based out of Topanga. So we partnered with them. So you could also, I know this, we haven't given you this link, but if the people out there look up Stoned Immaculate, they should come across that video as well once we release the single.
We shot the video with our friend Nikki Houston. Wonderful cinematographer, and in collaboration with Stoned Immaculate, the clothing brand.
But most coming up is our next show is October 22nd. That's the date that you can pin down at Coruscant.
Ah, wonderful. What a pleasure, Will and Haley. And again, individually, they were known as William Morden and Haley Hostetter. The best to you both. Thank you for combining forces for each other, the music, and for all of us.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
So a big thank you again to Will and Haley, and a big thank you to our guest, Shaheen Cheyenne. And with that, that is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our producer and co-host, Mark Leger, I am Filippo Voltaggio, your host, reminding you that as your life changes and your vibration raises, as ours surely did tonight, for sure, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.